I'd like to thank God for our praise leader. Thank God, God has truly used her to bless me this morning. Amen. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for being all that you are, Lord. We thank you for being our strength, Lord, for lifting us up, Lord, being able to praise your name, to lift your name even higher, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord. Clear our minds, Lord, so we may be able to focus on your word, Lord. Open our hearts so that we may be able to receive your word, Lord. Lord, we ask you to take this broken vessel to speak to the broken people. And when it's said and done, you put us all back together again. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, the first chapter. The book of Mark, the first chapter, and we will begin our reading in 29. And while you're finding that, I'd like to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Thank you. Mark 1:29. And we have it signified by saying amen. Amen. The word of God reads, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon's and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases and had cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. You may be seated. I'd like to speak on the title this morning, The Lineal Champion. The lineal champion. If you're a boxing fan, you probably is pretty well familiar with this term, the lineal champion. But what the lineal champion is, it is the champion that defeated the undisputed champion. It is when someone holds all the title and they end up losing to a person that held no title, that person then becomes the lineal champion. For 400 years before Christ came, Satan was the champion on earth. And now that Christ is here, Christ has become the lineal champion. Now, it is our job as Christians to make sure that he maintains his title. In order to become the lineal champion, you must first have bouts. And that is the first point this morning, is to have bouts. And Jesus was in plenty of fights. Those who don't understand what a bout is a fight. So Jesus was in plenty of fights. Now, before we go dive right into 29, we must give you a background of what has happened before 29 came in. Jesus first got his first four disciples. He went and got Peter which in the Bible right now they call him Simon. Simon and Andrew were two brothers. They was out fishing. And Jesus went up to them and had them to follow him. And on the way, as they were following him, he also ran into John and James, who were two brothers also. He told them to follow him. Now, the funny thing about John and James, it said that when he asked them to follow him, they jumped right off the boat and they began to follow him and left their dad and the workers right there on the boat continuing to work. So they jumped off and they continued to follow him. It says up in 21, it says, Jesus and his companions, they went to Capernaum and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. It says Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and he began to teach and preach. And the people that was there began to wonder, who is this person that is up here preaching with so much authority? So Jesus was in there preaching with authority. That needs to be something that us Christians need to mimic, is that when we're out teaching people and talking to people, we need to teach and preach with authority, because we have Christ inside of us. And if Christ is inside of us and we are preaching his word, then it needs to come out with a commandment, with authority. The people was wondering, who was this person that was preaching with so much authority? And then it says that a man came up and he began to speak. The man was demon possessed. And the demon began to speak to Christ and asked him, why are you here interrupting us? This was inside of the synagogue. This is the place, where people went to worship. The devil that possessed the man went to Jesus and said, why are you interrupting us? He said, are you here to destroy us? And then he said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And at that point, Jesus told him to be quiet. Because, see, it wasn't time for the people to know exactly who he was. Because, see, Jesus don't work on Satan's time. He works on his own time. So he told the demon to be quiet, and then he commanded the demon to come out of the man. The word says that the man went into convulsions, and the demon came out of him. And then it brings us to 29. It says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. So they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Simon is Peter. They went to Peter and Andrew's home. Now, evidently, their parents has passed away, and Peter and Andrew took over the family home. It said that they went to Simon and Andrew's home. It says, now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. So Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. Most of us didn't even realize that Simon was married, that Peter was married. And Paul speaks about Peter being married in 1 Corinthians 9. If you would turn me to 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 3. And this is Paul. Paul is actually speaking to the Corinthians, and he is explaining to them about how he gave up certain rights as an apostle so that they could get the word of Christ instead of focusing on him and wanting to know, how is he able to be an apostle since he wasn't one of the original 12? So in 9:3 it says, this is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us as other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? So he was explaining to them that he actually had gave up certain things, but the things he gave up, he has a right to it. But he mentioned that other apostles brought their wives. He mentioned that Jesus' brothers brought their wives. And even Peter brought his wife on their missionary work. See, for years, I thought that it was just the 12 that followed Christ. It was just the 12 that went out abroad preaching and teaching to the people. I never really thought that they brought their wives along with them. It says that Peter was married. That Peter had a wife. Going back to Mark 29, it says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. His mother-in-law was living in the home with Simon. Evidently, his father-in-law had passed away. And so he began to take care of his extended family. We don't see that much today. Back then, it was a custom to take care of your extended family. They did a lot more then than they do now. Today, we have senior living and nursing homes that we like to put our family members in before we bring them into our house. You know how we are. Your mama can't come stay with me. Mm-mm. We'll find a nice place for her to live, not in my house. But that's how we think. And that's why the senior living is so popular today. That's why they make so much money. Our lives is too busy to take on another responsibility, to take on our family members. But Peter's mother-in-law was living with him and his brother and his wife. And it says that the mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. She was sick in bed with a high fever. So now we understand where fever comes from. A fever comes from when we have some type of illness or infection, or there's some type of foreign invader inside of the body trying to take over. Our body tries to fight it off and therefore giving us a fever. It's the fever that helps to fight off. One of the problems with it is that if your fever reaches 108 degrees, you can start to develop brain damage. It can also lead to death. So it says that his mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. It said that they told Jesus about her right away. So as soon as they found out about the mother-in-law being in bed with this high fever, they told Jesus right away. Understand, at this point, they really wasn't quite sure who Jesus was, but they knew it was something special about him. And they seen the things that he could do. They seen him pull a demon out of a person. They seen him do some healing already. It said that they went and told Jesus about her right away. Do we do that? When we get sick, it's the first thing we do is tell Jesus about it? Or the first thing we do is go to the medicine cabinet or run to Walgreens or CVS? It said the first thing they done was told Jesus about it. It said that they told Jesus about it right away. It says, so he went to her bedside, took her hand, and helped her sit up. So Jesus went to her bedside, and I just imagine him standing there at her bedside like a doctor. He grabs her hand and helps her to sit up. And then the Bible says at that point, it says, then the fever left her. Jesus was standing by the bedside, grabbed her by the hand, helped her sit up. And the word says that the fever left her. Now, we've all been sick before, and we know that if a fever breaks, that don't mean that the illness is gone. That you still sometimes still feel bad. You still have a cough. You still have that strep throat. whatever it is, sometimes it's still there. So just because the fever breaks doesn't mean that the illness is gone, that the cause of the fever is gone. But look what happens. It says, then the fever left, and she prepared a meal for them, which is proof that Jesus not only got rid of the fever, but he got rid of what caused the fever, is that she was able to get up, move around, and cook him. Y'all understand? She began to serve the Lord at the time he got rid of her illness. It says, then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. 32 says, then evening after sunset, many sick demons and possessed people were brought to Jesus. Said that many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. So the people in town have heard about what he done in the synagogue. They knew that he had went to Simon Peter's house. He said that evening after sunset, and the sunset is very significant because the sunset marked the end of the Sabbath. So after sunset, it said that many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. See, during the Sabbath, you wasn't supposed to carry anything. During the Sabbath, you wasn't supposed to travel. So they waited until sunset so that the Sabbath would be over so they could come and visit Jesus. They wanted to make sure that they didn't violate the Sabbath. It said that even after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. It said the whole town gathered at the door to watch. The whole town is gathered at the door. This is at Simon's and Andrew's house. This is at his home. In these homes, the homes wasn't very big. And it was a one-way in and what? They didn't have a back door. It said the whole town gathered at the door to watch. The whole town gathered at Simon's and Andrew's door to watch Jesus work miracles. When you become a believer, understand that the world is watching you. The world is watching you. Some are in your corner. Some is hoping you fail. And then there are some who just sitting back watching. They're not quite sure about you. Are you truly a believer or not? So they're sitting back watching your moves. But understand that people are watching you. And when you're not doing the things that you claim you are, they don't blame you. They blame Christianity. They blame Christ. The whole town wasn't at the synagogue, but the whole town gathered at Peter's house to watch Christ, to see if it was really true. If he's really the person who they said he was, could he truly perform these miracles? He said that even after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. It was a sold out fight. The whole town was there. Jesus put on a display. It said that he began to heal many sick people. He began to cast out demons, people with various diseases. He got rid of diseases. And we was casting out diseases, out the demons. He still wouldn't allow them to speak because they knew who he was. Because again, he don't work on Satan's time. He work on his own time. Jesus was in many bouts. Jesus, since he began his ministry, he began to fight. He had many bouts. He began to heal people. He began to cast out demons out of people. Jesus was in many fights, and people was watching him, watching to see if he was going to win or lose. Is he truly the person they say he was? Weekend before last, me and my wife, we watched a boxing match, Deontay Wilder. And to be honest, I'm not a big fan of Deontay Wilder. But I watched the fight to see if he was going to win or lose. I watched the fight, actually, I wanted him to win because I want him to be matched up against one of my favorite fighters. But it was people there that was rooting for Christ, and then there were people there that was rooting against Christ. And they came there to see if he would win or lose. It said that Jesus, he began to heal those who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He began to do what he do. Jesus began to heal the sick and cast out demons. He was in many bouts. Now, to be a great champion, to be the lineal champion, you must go through many bouts. But you also must have closed training sessions. In 35, it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So Jesus got up the next morning and went out to an isolated place to pray. Jesus got away from everyone and everything. He said he went out to an isolated place to pray. He went out to an isolated place to pray to fellowship with the Father. He had to fellowship with the Father. In boxing, they have what they call closed training sessions. It's where it's only the boxer and the trainer, no outside interference. No one can get into the gym because it's a closed training session. Let's be honest, we think we have closed training sessions. We think we have closed training sessions. See, we'll be in our car with the music blasting and start singing, and God loves music. But what he's talking about here is getting your mind solely focused on God, where you are praying to God without any outside interference. So you need to get away from everything and everyone, even the music, even if you turn the music off and you're still driving, is your full attention, is your full focus on God. And I hope not, because you're driving. But he is saying that Jesus got away from everything and everyone. Listen, Jesus actually went outside of the town. Because inside of the town, he could not get away from everyone. The town had houses, it was built close together. So in order for him to be able to get some privacy and have a one-on-one conversation with the Lord, he had to get away. He had to get outside of the town. Now understand that Jesus done this pretty frequently. This wasn't a one-time thing. He done it pretty frequently. And if you remember, it was at the fight of a lifetime, literally the fight of his life, when he did it again. And that's probably the one time that we remember the most. If you turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. He says, then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and kneeled down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last, he stood up again and turned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give into temptation. So this was right before Jesus was going to be executed, before he was going to be crucified, that he went. He had the disciples with him and told the disciples to pray so they won't give into temptation. Jesus walked away from them, again isolating himself, to pray to the Father, having that one-on-one time. We need to get away to have that one-on-one time with the Father. We need to isolate ourselves to have that one-on-one time to the Father. For the same reason he told the disciples in Luke, so you won't fall into temptation. And we know that when they came to seize Christ during that time, Peter fell into temptation. Peter started chopping people's ears off. But see, that was why he wanted them to pray. So you won't do the things that is not of God. So you won't be undermining God and stopping the process that had to take place. We need to pray to God. Now, it's good that we pray all the time, and most of the time it's good that we pray in our car and we pray whenever something, but you need to get away from all of the ruckus. You need to get away from the hearing, taking in the negative, seeing the negative, and just focus solely on God, having a conversation with God. Understand, when you pray to God, it's more than just you speaking, it's you hearing also.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So you need to have a closed training session with just you and God so that he can strengthen you for the next fight, for the next bout, without any interference. We need to get away from family, get away from the kids, to be able to focus. I like to get up early in the morning before my family get up so I can have my me time with the Lord. But we need to do this, and honestly, we need to do this every day. Because every day is a fight. Every day, Satan is coming at you. You may not realize it because he's sneaky. He's coming at you every day. So you need to isolate yourself every day to have that one-on-one time with the Lord. Next, he says, later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. So Simon and the disciples, in other versions, it said that his companions, Simon and his companions, and it's talking about the other disciples, the other three disciples, that they went out and they found him and they let Jesus know that everyone was looking for him. He said everyone was looking for him. First, the disciples was looking for him. As believers, we need to seek Christ every day. We need to, again, isolate ourselves and pray every day, seeking his guidance every day. It said that the disciples, Simon and the companions, they went and they was looking for him, and they let him know, they let Jesus know that everyone was looking for you. Everyone was looking for Christ. And so the third point is we have to remain focused. You have to remain focused when you're dealing with these fights, when you're dealing with going out fighting every day, coming in. Listen, we are fighting against, as he tells us in the word, Paul tells us in Ephesians that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual fight that we're in. And with the spiritual fight, it's coming every day. Satan comes at us every day. So you have to make sure that Christ is strengthening you, and you have to stay focused. In 1990, there was a fight between Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. Yeah, I heard a snicker because most of us remember that fight. And Mike Tyson was 40 and old at this time. And he was fighting against Buster Douglas, who was a 42-1 underdog. And Buster Douglas ended up knocking Mike Tyson out in the 10th round. But the word is, the reason why Mike Tyson got knocked out, because he was focused more on his family business versus on the fight that was in front of him. He was going through things with his wife and his mother-in-law, which had his focus off track. We can't allow the world to get our focus off track. We can't allow the people to get our focus off track. Jesus wouldn't allow them to get his focus off track. He had to remain focused. In 38, it says, but Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach and teach to them too. This is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus would not allow them to get his focus off track. He remained focused. He understood that the people were coming to find him not because he was the savior of the world, because they wanted him to do more miracles. Jesus said, I have to go and do what I came to do. I can't be allowing them to get me off track. Jesus, listen, he held the mouths of the demons closed so they wouldn't speak because he didn't want the people to know who he exactly was on Satan's times. He wanted them to know on his time. But Jesus had a time. And so he had to keep it moving. He was there. He created, he did miracles in front of them. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He preached in the synagogue. The people wanted him to stay. The people wanted him to keep, just stay here and keep doing miracles. But Jesus isn't a magician. He's not a magician. He was the savior of the world. And so he had to do what he came to do. He had to set out and save the world. Jesus says in 38, we must go on to other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. Jesus came to save the world. He didn't come to save Galilee. He didn't come to save Capernaum. He came to save the world. It is our job as followers of Christ, as his believers, as his children, to make sure that Jesus is still the lineal champion. We got to do exactly what he did. We have to keep spreading his word. It's a fight. It's a fight every day. And if you live in the United States, you know that it's a fight. Because now your country is pushing back on you. It's a fight every day, but we can help him as long as we isolate ourselves. Pray to God. Pray that he strengthen us. And if we do that and remain focused, Jesus will remain champion. Amen? Amen. 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 If you would, stand to your feet. And this time.